Next on BYUSN, the 2024-2025 athletic season came to a close this past weekend at BYU. What were the biggest storylines in Cougar sports this past year? Former Cougar star Jonathan Tabanari breaks down the expectations for A.J. Dibansa this season and why he thinks BYU is a national title contender.
Hey, we're only 1 week away from the NBA draft. Where does BYU's Yegor Demin land in the most recent mock drafts? And BYU baseball head coach Trent Pratt joins the show to look back on the Batcats' second season in the Big 12 and why the future is bright for BYU baseball.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It's Tuesday, June 17th. I'm Dave McCann with Blaine Fowler. We've been covering these Cougars for over three decades.
That's crazy.
About that last night.
We're not old enough
to be doing that. But we've also come to appreciate the game of golf.
Yeah, that's a good segue to some big news this morning. BYU grad Brian Rolapp was named the new CEO of the PGA Tour this morning.
That makes him the boss.
It's huge. He graduated from BYU in 1996. Previously, he was the executive vice president of NFL Media and the CEO and president of the NFL Network. I know there's been a lot of talk about Brian taking over as the commissioner of the NFL when that time comes. But what a great honor, a huge announcement this morning that he is going to be the CEO of the PGA Tour. Wow.
And when you're the boss, guys like Tiger Woods say, hey, can I get a picture?
Yeah, exactly.
And so they take a picture.
That's
big time.
He just became big time. For
you
sure.
know, and who knows? Maybe he'll be the commissioner of the NFL someday.
Yeah, I think there's a pathway to that for him. He's very well respected in all professional sports, and we see that this morning with his job announcement.
Seems like he could get us a tea time at Augusta.
My question is, can we – a tea time at Augusta?
A tea time.
Ooh,
just a visit.
Not just to go to the Masters.
No, I think it seems like he
could. We need to bring him on the show and ask him that on the show where we pin him down. So,
all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
All of Cougar Nation got a glimpse of what the vision is for BYU athletics this past season. You see all of our other sports competing at a national level. That's the vision.
Days like today, we can say it's over. Right. I mean, it's literally over. The 2024 athletic year came to a close over the weekend for BYU. Man, over the last 12 months, NCAA tournaments, national championships, Big 12 titles. Today, for a few minutes, we're going to look back at some of the biggest storylines across Cougar sports over the last year that we've covered on this show and throughout BYU TV and live and all pregame, postgame, all that stuff. And there's a healthy list. We debated what should be number one, what should be, you know, this and that.
Did we do these in order? I don't know if we really did them in order.
Nah.
But it all came down to what we said, these are the things we want to talk about.
Yeah, and you start with the mothership, right? You always start with that. And that's BYU football and that 11-2 season, which was totally impressive considering they were picked 13th in the Big 12 last July. And then they come and they roll through and they finish the AP Top 25 ranked number 13. That's in the country. Take a look at some of these accolades. What was the most impressive thing about BYU football for you?
I think the most impressive thing is where they were projected to be versus where they ended up. And I think that 9-0 start just flabbergasted everybody. Like, wait a minute. Where did this team come from? Anytime you're in a Power Four conference and you win 11 games, it's something very, very special. In fact, you and I have talked a lot this next year. If they win 9 games, I'd be happy with 9 games. I would have been happy with 8 games last year. You go out and win 11. You go 7-2 in the Big 12. You get a share of the regular season title. It doesn't really matter because you got to go to that title game. I think the most impressive point in the season was the absolute beatdown of number 23 Colorado in that Alamo Bowl. I mean, 36-14, and it didn't feel like it was that close. They beat the daylights out of Colorado, and they sent a message, yep, BYU's a Power Four program. I thought that was huge. A lot of great things from this last football season.
What impressed me is while they did it, they did amazing things, like Parker Kingston. We had never seen a 140-yard punt return.
Yeah, because he ran all the way across the field.
In the same play, we saw a bad decision. An even worse decision as he ran backwards and grabbed the ball and just kept going toward the Oklahoma State goal line. Now all of a sudden he's 100 yards away, and then he turns it into one of the greatest punt returns we've ever seen. And then we're sitting there at our broadcast platform listening to Cougar Nation respond in the stadium. and it was tremendous. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what we just saw, and pandemonium, and you're playing the 13th ranked team in the country. And then you fast forward and see what Jake Retzlaff and Darius Lassiter did with 10 seconds to go to beat Oklahoma State in another improbable finish where the fans just, they were just out of their minds.
There were so many big plays and so many big moments. Maybe none bigger than what happened up in Salt Lake City against the Utes. And to have that game come down to the wire and for everybody's emotions to be lower than the floor here. And then to have the holding call, which was legit. By the way,
total hold.
Has been reviewed and totally hold, and they get another chance. I think everybody went from lower than the floor to, wait a minute, you're telling me there's a chance. And then they go down the field, and then Will Farron gets a new nickname with that game and becomes Big Game Bill
from
that point forward. And people realize, I think, through the course of the season, that BYU has, if not the best, one of the best kickers in all of college football, you know, almost a certain NFL guy because he's so steady. Special teams were a big part of this phenomenal season, and none bigger than that game when Will, when Coach Papinga, the special teams coordinator, said to him, what hash do you want it on? We're going to run the ball and put it position. And Will says, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Because whatever side you put it on, it's going through the pipes.
It's going to kick it.
That's Big Game Bill.
The stat that surprised me the most as we look back on the year was on the defense. I mean, from the year before when BYU had trouble stopping anybody to the second year in the Big 12 and the second year under Jay Hill, and they're the number one defense in the league. There's 16 teams. You know, and typically the team up north likes to say they're always the best defense, whatever.
Wherever they
are. The number one defense was in Provo, week in and week out. So many of those guys are coming back for this season. But that really surprised me.
Yeah, that was big. And you know what? It is a testament to what Jay Hill did. So he put a new system in the year before, and they were better. But now you had a whole team of guys that had been in the system for a full year, and they played fast. And when you play fast and you arrive at the ball with a mean mentality like they did, and you start smacking people around with confidence, the ball starts coming out. You start getting picks. They were one of the top teams in the country all season
21.
Long in turnovers and interceptions.
21 interceptions.
Awesome. So what a great year. So, and as you said, football's the bell cow. Football is what pays the bills. So we put that at the
and
top of the list.
And football delivered.
Yeah, what a great, great year for football. An unexpected great year for football. Now a little higher expectations, but I expect greatness again this year. Let's move to our number two.
All right.
So Kevin Young's first season as BYU's basketball coach, a huge success. Again, way exceeding anybody's expectations. They accomplished a lot in this first season on the court. What was the most impressive thing to you about this BYU basketball team that made a Sweet 16 appearance for the first time in a long time?
It's hard to believe these two topics are in the same year.
Yeah, right? Wow.
With what football did, and then basketball just came on. And it starts with Yegor Demon. All of a sudden, you get an athlete that BYU doesn't typically get, at least up to the point of getting Yegor. Young and projected NBA lottery pick. Oh, you know what? The lottery's next week, and he's projected to be a lottery pick. So, hey, what we were talking about last summer came to pass. And he was just part of this thing, routing Kansas at home. BYU thought they could beat Kansas. Dismantling Kansas on ESPN, you know what? That was a surprise. Going to Iowa State and beating the Cyclones on their floor. Beating Arizona the way they did on their floor in Tucson. In the Sweet 16, you finished ranked 13th. I think you got to throw in there the hiring of Kevin Young and the staying of Kevin Young. Mm-hmm. When the Suns needed a new head coach here recently and they came sniffing around and Young wanted to be here, and so he signs an extension here. All this stuff in the last 12 months, off the charts for me. What about you?
Yeah, and the season in its entirety is just amazing to me because you always say, well, new coach, new system, how are these guys going to adapt? Yeah, they have some good talent. Did anybody have any idea that Richie Saunders was going to play the way that he played? I mean, unbelievably, he becomes first team all Big 12 and all American. Now he's an NBA prospect. Nobody expected that out of Richie Saunders. You had a couple of new players and you wondered how they were going to play as freshmen. The way this team played together and everyone played a role. You see Dawson Baker knocking down shots and coming off the bench. Mihailo Boskovic comes in and plays a vital role. So many players playing big-time roles, and that resulted in big games, and you mentioned them. I mean, that Kansas win was as big as it's ever been. Yeah. That was huge to dismantle them. It's not just that they beat them. It's the way that they manhandled them. I compare that game to what we talked about in football with the Colorado game where BYU just manhandled a good team. And so I think the consistency of this team, the ability to have a brand new system and to play at a high, high level with multiple pieces was the biggest surprise for me and what I was most impressed with. Kevin Young and his staff did a phenomenal job all season long of building that thing. And now even more talent comes in and you got a bunch of guys that know what's expected and how to play in this league.
Yeah, and they did it without getting lucky, right? It wasn't a half-court shot that they hit that changed everything. They earned what they got, and not everybody developed, right? Not everybody overachieved. And Cannon Catchings had huge expectations, as much as Yegor coming in. And Cannon struggled, and now he's gone somewhere else. That part didn't quite work out, but other areas did. Trey Stewart comes all of a sudden. He's like, he's getting serious minutes at the end of the season in the games that matter the most, whereas the first half of the season, he wasn't on the floor at all. And there was Mawat Magg goes from the bench to a starter. Once they started him, they could never take him out.
Yeah, to me, the way Kevin moved the pieces through the preseason and figured out, you know what, we need more defensive presence on the floor. We're going to put Mawat on. I believe that was a turning point in the season when Magg went into the starting lineup and BYU had a defensive presence, and then his offense was surprisingly good. But pulling the right strings, Kevin Young showed what his value was in this first season. It's going to be fun moving forward.
All right, you ready to take it up a notch?
Yeah.
Kevin Young and BYU basketball, after Yegor and Dawson Baker do their things, they go out and they sign the world's number one rated player in A.J. DeBonsa, who's on campus now, not today, because he's over there with Team USA earning a spot to go play for the World Championships. But A.J.'s here. How big of a storyline is this from the past year?
Did any of us ever think that BYU could get the kind of recruit they did in A.J. DeBonsa?
And no.
What it did was it changed the narrative around BYU and who they can recruit. All of a sudden, BYU's top five recruiting class. And then it just kept getting better. But when you get A.J., who is considered, he's not just the best player in the country. If they could draft high school players like the old days, when LeBron James was coming out, he'd probably be the number one pick in this year's draft.
Right.
And BYU signs him. And he's a remarkable athlete. You and I have had a chance to sit down with him for a long time and do interview with him and meet his dad. And he's not only a great player, he's a great fit for here. And then that opened up the door for a lot of other things. Next thing you know, Rob Wright's transferring in because he wants to play with AJ. Next, like, it opened up a lot of doors, and it created a narrative about BYU is BYU is a big-time program. They can compete with North Carolina and Duke and Kentucky for anybody. And here we have AJ, and now people are saying, well, this is a Final Four team next year.
Yeah.
Like, the expectations are really, really high, but I'm okay with that. And they have the talent. And I think what Kevin Young proved last year is that he can meld young talent into an effective team. And that NBA experience, I think, because in the NBA, everybody's a superstar. Yeah. And you have to figure that out. He did a phenomenal job last year. Now you got AJ, you got Rob Wright, you got, like, we're just talking about a couple of pieces. And you got Richie coming back, who's just an unbelievable leader. This is great stuff. AJ changed the game forever for BYU in recruiting.
I think so. I think we're going to see down the road the fruition of that statement right there, because he's here now, others will come. And we really don't even know how it's going to work out this year, right? Villanova is the first big test on November 3rd. But because AJ picked BYU, others are going to pick BYU.
Yeah.
And we'll just see. And it just might become a someday where we go, oh, yeah, we expected to get that guy. He's number two in the country, as opposed to, can you believe we got that guy?
Why wouldn't you come here? That's the question now. So,
all right.
So those are our top two are football and basketball. But maybe not really three. Maybe right up there with the top two is BYU's runners this year. Mm-hmm. What a year they had. It was highlighted by the men's and women's cross-country teams, both winning national championships at the same time. Like, how amazing was that? There were seven current BYU Cougars that ran in the Paris Olympic Games. And so this has been a phenomenal year for cross country, for track and field, for BYU's track athletes. What's your take on this remarkable year for BYU and what Ed Eystone and Diljit Taylor have done with these programs?
Well, outside of the Cougarettes, There's no more successful program, right, on campus than cross country. And then that has bled into indoor track and then outdoor track, as we just saw, mm-hmm. with James Corrigan winning the national championship. And since you can't show up and watch cross country run, right, because they'll just go past you and then the event's over for you, it's hard for, I think, BYU to grasp how big of a deal this is. But the men's and women's teams both win the national championships. First time that's happened in 20 years. They're probably going to do it again this year.
Yeah, they're loaded.
And that hasn't happened maybe ever. And the way we've seen, there's a BYU runner in every big event. Cross country, indoor track, outdoor track, it doesn't matter. That's what it's become. And then the steeplechase seems to be our thing.
Oh, yeah. BYU is their most dominant program in cross country, that's for sure, and in the distance events. Let's just name some names quick. Cougars in the Olympics. Kenneth Rook, silver medalist in the steeplechase. What? Yeah. And that race was remarkable, what he did in that. James Corrigan, steeplechase. Courtney Wayman ran the steeplechase. Connor Mance ran the marathon. Clayton Young ran the marathon. Rory Linkletter ran the marathon. And Whitney Orton Morgan ran the 5K. All Olympians for BYU, representing BYU. It's such a deep class. And remember, those two of our marathoners ran the two fastest American times in Olympic marathon history. Finished in the top 10. That was pretty amazing. Dominating. Awesome stuff. And then James Corrigan just went and won the individual NCAA yeah. national championship in the steeplechase last weekend. What a year
Huge.
For the
Huge.
Runners at BYU.
And across the board. And there's so many others that we're out of time to talk about. But, you know, we've got a new athletic director for the first time in a couple of decades. And
that's a big story.
All of this.
We'll do a show on that at some point, right?
In the last 12 months. Our question of the day is this. What's the biggest storyline in BYU athletics in 2024-2025? At N8Ricks on X, basketball recruiting. We're in rare air. Isn't it something any of us ever experienced? Enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with that. And how about True Blue BYU 1984? Thank you for that, my team, yeah. on X. It's BYU football's unexpected 11-2 season and finishing top 15 after starting the season unranked.
Okay.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We want to hear your opinion. And maybe we missed something. You know, we covered some good stuff, but maybe we missed something.
No matter what, we've had quite a year.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable year. It's Camelot all over again at BYU. So, hey, join us Thursday for a BYU Sports Nation Juneteenth special highlighting inspiring stories of black athletes from BYU and across the Big 12, Thursday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Coming up next, Jonathan Tavenari weighs in on all this BYU basketball hype. JT's awesome. You ask him one question, and then a half hour later, you ask him a follow-up. We got JT next on BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play, Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler. It is always our pleasure to welcome JT for three, the man who always shot and rarely missed, Jonathan Tavenari, former BYU basketball star. Hey, how are you today?
And I also thought I should have shot more. I want to make sure that that's clear.
It was never enough, right, JT?
No, I was always open, and I should have shot more.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I know you believe that. We've been watching A.J. DeBanza tear it up at the U19 Team USA camp. What do you make of all that, and how big of a treat are we all in for this coming season?
You know, I put it on X a few days ago. I think it was yesterday or the day before. This will be the most hyped BYU basketball season ever. Nothing comes close. Now, is it ever going to top Jimmermania? I don't know. But I do have to say, guys, if this BYU team goes to the Final Four, which I think it's the ceiling for them, I think that this become the greatest BYU season of all time. Not only because of the result, but, you know, as we're seeing with AJ, the entire world has eyes on BYU right now. And the fact that he is going to play for the, you know, Team USA and play for the world championships is just going to magnify that. A good friend of mine, Fran Franchilla, you guys know him well. He has been in Colorado. I had a chance to chat with him. And, you know, he is just, you know, astounding of how much AJ is doing well and how AJ is playing and the level that he's playing. And, you know, AJ posted on his social media a clip, you know, some clips of him dunking. I don't know if you guys caught it. He did the Vince Carter dunk where he did a windmill 360. And I mean, he is going to, I've said this a few times, he is going to catch a fast break And at the Marriott Center, there will be nobody there. He is going to go between the legs, under the legs. He is going to do something that, you know, the internet is going to go linsanity on this. And we're going to be right in the middle of it. And so, you know, what a time to be a BYU fan.
You know, JT, I stopped by a couple weeks ago to get something from Richie, and they were running up and down the floor and playing. And AJ went by. I was telling Dave about this last night. He went by and he jumped up and he went in front of the rim, and it's almost like he just soared by the rim. And as an afterthought, he's like, "Oh, now that I'm past the rim, I need to dunk this." And he like backhanded it back in, and I went, "Oh my goodness, I've never seen a BYU guy do something like this." So we know he's good. We know he's going to be a superstar out there. He's just got this great skill level. My question is, from what you've seen from him, how can AJ make the other players on the floor around him better? In particular, does this benefit Richie Saunders, or does it hurt Richie Saunders?
First of all, and Blaine, you've been around BYU, you know, a little bit longer, not a ton, a little bit longer than I have. And I will say this, the only guys that I can think of that had that level of athleticism is Mike Hall and Charles Abuo. Can you think of anybody else, Blaine?
No, like not to be able, like Jeff Chapman was like a human pogo stick, right? Like you just, right. He'd take one drop step, turn around, take it back to his shoulder blades and throw it down. But he couldn't handle the ball and shoot threes and just like AJ's a complete athlete. He looks like a 6'1 point guard, but he's in a 6'9 body. So it's crazy. But with that, sometimes we see great players, but everybody else just stands around. What can he do to elevate everybody on this team?
Well, and to your point, you know, how can he help Richie Saunders? The best thing about AJ, aside from his personality and then his talent, he is not a selfish player. Now, he draws a lot of attention. That's also part of, you know, of who he is and his character. But he does it in a great way. And he involved people around him. If you saw a video of him playing, and I don't mean just in high school when he was playing, you know, a Utah Prep and before. But when you get down to the McDonald's All-American game, to, you know, the Hoop Summit, and all of these different other all-star games where, you know, kids do take it seriously, he's making people better, finding the open man. And Richie, you know, a preseason All-American, a phenomenal player, but he's not going to be the center of attention, although he was last year. And boy, did he deliver, even being the focus of the defense. And so, you know, in Italy, we always said, you know, you're going to uncover your feet to cover your head, but then you're going to uncover your head to cover your feet with a blanket. How are people going to guard this team? Because they're going to have Richie on one side, AJ on the other. They're going to deal with Robert Wright at the point. And then, you know, they have Dominic Diamande. They have Kabeem. How are they going to deal with all of these guys? And we haven't even talked about the shooters that come off the bench with Mihailo and with Brody. And what about the big man with Keba now becoming better and better, you know, at finishing inside the paint? And then Xavion. And so, and we haven't even talked about the new guys, you know, Tyos and so on. It's going to open the floor in a crazy way that I wish I was part of this team, because the amount of open three-pointers I would get, it would be surreal. And the good thing about it is Richie's a good catch-and-shoot guy. Robert Wright is a solid three-point shooter. Brody and Mihailo are probably salivating of the amount of catch-and-shoot threes that they're going to have because of the space that AJ is going to create, and then even enhance, you know, the opportunity that Richie has to shine even more than he did last year.
Listen, AJ would be just fine with you launching 20 three-point shots a game as long as you made 18 of them. I don't think he'd have a problem finding you in the corner. And I saw Charles Abuo yesterday, and I asked him, I said, "Hey, have you dunked on AJ yet?" And he goes, "No, I don't do that anymore." But AJ is doing plenty of that.
Charles needs to be careful that AJ doesn't dunk on him on practice.
Yes.
You know, I love Charles, but he's got to be careful not to catch one.
How big of a jump do you think Richie can make this year? You know, first team All Big 12, but he wants to get to the NBA. How big of a jump can he make amidst all this hype?
You know, the interesting thing about Richie and also about his dad is the amount of time that they put in together. One of the times that I was, you know, doing the pregame stuff and we saw the deep blue on him, I had to hold back tears. You know, Blaine, you saw that. You're like, hey, here, have a milk dud. Have a milk dud. You know, just stop crying. Have a milk dud. And, you know, to see the amount of work he puts in, and he does it with his dad, it reminded me of what I did with my mom. It reminds me of what I do with my son now, my 12-year-old. And so I think it's a perfect storm for Richie because, my goodness gracious, what a jump he had last year, right? He went from being good, right? He went from being solid to being good, from good to being great. Reminds me a lot of the jump that Jimmer did between his sophomore and junior year. Unfortunately, Jimmer got mono that year. And so... but the way that Richie's going to go from the junior to senior year and the jump that he's about to make, what I can tell you is because AJ is there, because Robert Wright is there, he is going to be able to improve. And we're going to see Richie in more one-on-one situations where good luck guarding him. Last year, he was the center of attention. A lot of times when, you know, the ball swung and got to him, he had to usually beat one or two guys on his way to the hoop. They can't do that this year because, again, are you going to uncover your head to cover your feet? You know, how is it going to happen on that? And, you know, the amount of work and just obsession that Richie has, it is extremely admirable. Is an example for, you know, future players that want to get better. And there's no secret ingredient. My favorite movie is Kung Fu Panda. And when Kung Fu Panda, probably because I look like him now. And when Kung Fu Panda opens the dragon's crow, he sees nothing but a reflection of himself. And so there's no secret ingredient other than just putting in a lot of work. And we all know that Richie is a workaholic. And man, what a season are we in. You know, what a treat is going to be this next basketball season.
You know, JT, you mentioned just a little bit ago about kind of the expectations for this season. You said, hey, they need to be in the Final Four. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Fox College Hoops just yesterday came out with their probabilities of winning a national championship. And BYU had the seventh highest probability to win the national championship this next season. Are you good with these expectations? Are you like, yeah, or you know, let's let them go play. Let's have some fun. Yes, that's the expectations. Or do you wish they were tempered down a little bit? And should we be tempering them down a little bit with all these young guys that are talented?
Throw more gasoline on it, Blaine, for all I care. You know, you need to be all about that smoke, which Kevin Young is all about that smoke. Don't be surprised if there is a BYU at Kentucky game scheduled in the next couple of years, you know, talking about, you know, getting all and being all about that. You know, Kevin Young is the man. He is not afraid of schedule. Look at the schedule they have this year. They're going to go to Madison Square Garden. They're going to go to Vegas. Look at the teams that they're playing, right? It's BYU is going to be front and center. And I will say this, right? My ceiling for this team is that they will reach the Final Four. That's my ceiling. Are they going to win a national championship? You know, at that point, it nobody really knows what's going to happen, right? But to me, the floor of this team is the second round, going to the Sweet 16. You know, it will be difficult to be able to justify why did a team with the number one draft pick in the 2026 NBA draft, with one of the top five point guards in all of college basketball, with, you know, an All-American in Richie Saunders, how did this team did not get to the Sweet 16? And so, you know, if they don't go past the round of 32, to me, the season was not a success, right? And I say that on a team perspective because AJ is most likely going to be, you know, a top five pick next year. And you can see, you know, all of the wheels turning with BYU basketball, the season they had last year, Yegor going to be a lottery pick, going to the green room, getting the number one player in the country in AJ, having a heck of a season this year, AJ being drafted in the top five, maybe Robert Wright being drafted in the top 10, you know, and so from that perspective, I buy into all the hype, pour gasoline on it, you know, light up a fire because, you know, they're talking about it, they're going to be about it. They're walking that walk, and the more attention BYU gets, the better BYU does, because Kevin Young is about that life. And think about it. From now on, having a top five recruiting class like they just did this year, that's not going to be the exception. It's going to be the norm.
Jonathan Tavernari with the quote of the day. Pour some gasoline on it.
Yeah.
And light it up. JT, awesome as always. And one of the most beautiful things we've ever seen in the history of Cougar basketball is when you're on the floor and in the zone. There's Jimmer range, but before the Jimmer range, there's JT range.
There were so many games, JT, that we called where the basket, I can't even put it on camera. The basket seemed like it was bigger than this, like you were just throwing it in the ocean. And we loved watching you do that, and we love you breaking it down. Thanks for being with us, JT. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you. And as always and forever, go Cougs.
You got it. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, brother. Hey, we invite you to join us for a BYU Sports Nation special this Friday. Spencer and Jerem are going to break down the top 10 football teams of all time. A big countdown for us. This is in BYU football history. So my question, Dave, does the 2024 team make that top 10? I can tell you this. There better be a 1984 team on that list.
I think that's safe.
Or I'm going to be sorely disappointed. That's this Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Coming up next, countdown. We'll get to the latest mock drafts on Yegor Demin, plus which former Coug just signed with a professional team. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back in Studio B here in Provo, Utah, Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler. You know what JT exudes? Energy. Positive energy.
Have you ever heard that statement? Like, coaches are always telling us, tamp it down, tamp it down. He's like, pour gasoline on it. That's the new theme for basketball. Let's pour gasoline on the hype. So
Spencer and Jerem are over at the Cedar Hills Golf Course today with the BYU corporate event. And there's our guy right there, Spencer. How you playing?
Hey, we're 3 under through 6 holes.
Wow.
So we're playing at a snail's pace, but we are making some birdie putts, Dave. I know both you and Blaine can appreciate that, being the scratch golfers that both of you are.
Yeah. So we're scratching our heads the whole time.
That's what we're doing. We're scratching scratching heads about why we can't make a birdie. Do you have like all these like free mulligans and licorice ropes? Are these like legit birdies?
So these are, we have a team of 4 and there are some teams of 5 with their fifth shot. So I actually feel pretty good about our team of 4 putting together 3 birdies through 6. I don't know how honest everybody will be today. We have been honest. We have great integrity, led by Dr. Dane Allred, who works very closely with BYU Athletics and keeps our athletes healthy and in good shape.
Yeah. Who else are you playing with? Like, you got Dane? Who's your
first? You've got to have a ringer there if you're 3 under.
So Dane could qualify as the ringer. We also have a golf coach of 20 years from nearby Elko, Nevada. He's my guy, Roger. He's in my cart with me. And a good buddy of mine, Mitch Southwick, representing Intermountain Healthcare. So all representing great companies that are huge sponsors and a huge part of this big push for BYU Athletics as they take on the Big 12 era and try and level up and stay at the highest level of collegiate athletics.
Hey, look, everyone needs a scratch golfer named Roger in their group, so I'm glad you have one. Are you going to hit a shot for us, or are you just going to visit?
So I'm not in a place where we're hitting a shot. We're actually in a putting contest just by the clubhouse. I'll have you know I left the prize that I wanted. I left the putt about 3 feet short. And it's one of the critical errors in golf. You're never going to make a putt that you leave short.
Right.
Dang it.
Well, darn it. I wish we could see you swing, because I know that your swing is pretty. And this might mean that when we check in with Jerem later, we have to see his swing. And that could leave everybody with a bad taste in their mouth. It could be ugly.
Listen, I apologize for that. unfortunate timing that I'm here and we're not on a tee box, but we're waiting to tee off. But hey, tell you what. I will make sure that I take a video of my embarrassing golf. I'll send you a terrible shot. Maybe our producer, Colton Potter, can work it into the show later of me hitting a shot and embarrassing myself.
Very good.
Your morning. Play some golf with some good folks. And we'll continue to carry the load here in the salt mine. So, Spencer, thank you. Have some fun.
We miss you.
Hey, I appreciate you both. We couldn't do this without both of you. You're two of my closest friends and my mentors. And in all seriousness, appreciate you so much for allowing us to be out here.
You got it.
You got to have fun, brother.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, let's do some headlines.
Yeah, let's start with BYU basketball's A.J. DeBonsa being named one of 18 finalists for the USA's U19 national team roster. The top 12 move on to represent Team USA in the FIBA U19 World Cup in Switzerland later this month. DeBonsa represented Team USA last summer in the U17 World Cup, helping Team USA win gold. Awesome. I expect him not only to be on the team, but to be the star of the team. So we keep acting like this is like he's got to make the team. Yeah. He's the best player on the team player. For Pete's sakes.
ESPN and CBS Sports dropped their latest mock drafts for BYU point guard Yegor Damon. They're going to project it to go 13th to the Hawks. At BYU, he averaged 10.6 points, 3.9 rebounds, 5.5 assists last season in his first year over here in America. He's had some great workouts for teams. The draft gets underway next Wednesday.
Isn't it ironic? He goes to the Hawks where his mentor, Travis Hanson, played.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. So BYU basketball's Fusene Traore signed with SIG Strasbourg, professional team in the French Pro A League. Traore played all 4 years at BYU and averaged 10.4 points, 6.8 boards. It's career, holding the BYU all-time record for field goal percentage, 61.1% career field goal percentage. Congrats to Fus.
When fans go Fus, is it the same in French?
I don't know. But you know what? They'll be saying it because they'll fall in love with them. Congrats to Fus.
BYU women's soccer's Presley Freeman, Lucy Kessler, and Abby Sine called up to the first of its kind U.S. Women's College Soccer Talent ID Camp. That's what it's called. It takes place June 18th through the 22nd in Atlanta. And the idea is to find the best talent for the under 18, under 19, and under 20 women's national team rosters. So three Cougs over there. Nice.
Awesome stuff. BYU softball's Ilavea Brittingham was ranked number 79 on D1 softball's top 100 players list. The freshman's coming off a season in which she was named a freshman All-American after batting .410 with 66 hits, 39 runs, 69 RBIs, and 21 homers.
Man, she's spectacular. Coming up, BYU baseball coach Trent Pratt, he's just got out of makeup, and now he's ready to join us. We'll talk about the future of the Cougars. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to Sports Nation here on this, Tuesday?
We're working late together last night. It's Tuesday,
it's
folks.
It's Tuesday. Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, our pleasure to be joined by BYU head baseball coach Trent Pratt. There is no offseason anymore. We were just talking a moment ago. It's just all the time for a college head coach with a program that, like yours or football or basketball, isn't it? There's really no break.
No, it doesn't. Season ends and hit the road recruiting. We'll have our freshmen showing up this weekend for Summer Bridge, and we have a lot of returners that are back in the weight room getting strong right now. So yeah, it's just kind of rolling to the next phase.
Yeah, it's full of activity with the players, but if you drive on the way up to here, you drive by the baseball complex and you see tractors and all kinds of things going on. So you got a new pitching and hitting facility that's coming along. Mm-hmm. And workouts are underway, as you mentioned. Let's start with that facility first. What will that do to help improve hitting and pitching and all of the things that you want to improve here, and how would this help the program?
Man, it's a game changer for us. We're thankful for our administration. Want baseball to be good. And supporting us not only like with that facility, but like this new landscape we're in with the rev share. They want baseball to go. They want what we want as coaches and players, that, man, we want to be playing in the postseason in the NCAA tournament. And so having this facility and the investment they're making in that, and, you know, with the rev share, they're helping us out that way. Our players are going to have a chance to train. We'll be able to develop guys better. Just have access, man, for them to be able to get in the cages and work and get better. So also recruiting. You've seen them. It's already, we have kids all over the country come and say, man, we can't believe the stadium, what it looks like. Now, adding that to the development side to help our players get better and take our next step for a program is a huge deal for us.
Let's think of that magical night in the stadium. You beat Texas Tech, you clinch a date in the Big 12 tournament. There's fireworks, the place is packed, and now more fans will actually be able to sit down that line as well, on top of the pitching and catching facility and hitting facility.
Yeah, it's good for everyone. Good for our fans, good for our players, and we're excited for it to get done so we can get in there and get to work and, you know, start getting guys better.
When players come, how big are facilities when you're trying to recruit? I mean, do they really look at that? Do the families look at this? Do they compare? And if you don't, now you're going to compete for sure. If you don't compete, is it harder to get kids to come?
Yeah, I think so, especially on the pitching side with all the new analytics and things they're having. That's a big deal as far as development goes. So for us to have those resources now to say, hey, look, we have all the resources as far as like on the development side to help you guys get better is a huge deal for us on the recruiting side and player development side. Because that's what it's about. It's about getting guys here and getting them better. And that's what kids want. They want to see that, hey, is this school invested? Do they want to get us better? Do they have the same dreams that we have? And so to see the school, you know, making a commitment like this is really big for us.
Another thing that helps in the offseason is momentum. So you go to the Big 12 tournament, you shut out Arizona State in the first round. Stuns them. They go on to the NCAA tournament, but they're blanked and a great opportunity for you to get a taste because that's where you want to be. You want to be – the College World Series is going on right now. That's where you want to be next year. So there's a bit of momentum having beaten the Sun Devils on that stage to take into workouts, isn't there?
Yeah, now it's just taking the next step. The conference tournament now, man, the expectation, our goal is we should play in the NCAA tournament. And that's the expectation from us and administration. That's expectation from our players. So we have probably like our 10 core guys that, you know, pretty much played every game for us on the pitching side.
Yeah.
We talked, and for them to get better, they got to get bigger and stronger. So those guys are in the weight room every day at 12 o'clock, hold each other accountable. If you're not going to be there, you better text the group. You better get your lift in. And so those things are just going to carry us over into next fall to get this program where it needs to be, and that's in the NCAA tournament.
Whenever we talk, we always talk about pitching because pitching is king, right? You've got to be good, and you've got to not just be good, but you've got to be deep.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching was a little bit of a struggle at times this last season. You mentioned you got a lot of guys back. So what's the focus this offseason for that group, and are there any additions that you can talk about that will help move forward into this next season and get you to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think the big thing is those guys that are here, like getting together and building that culture now where it's, hey, we know they're hungry. They got a little taste of the postseason this year, and it's hungry about, hey, we got to take another step next year. So I think them getting that taste this year has made them hungry and, man, want to work harder and get after even more as a group. Now, on the pitching side, we had some injuries last year that cost us a little bit, and getting guys healthy like Kaysen Bell, Peyton Gubler, we had some freshmen get injured. So that's where the depth comes in. And obviously, we had some freshmen coming in, and then, you know, in the transfer portal trying to get one or two arms to come help us get better. And it's about depth, 100%. In this league, it's not about having one or two of them. It's about having six or seven or eight, nine, ten deep where you can just keep rolling them out there. And so we've seen what this league has, and we've also seen that we can compete at the highest level too.
Right.
Now it's just being more consistent, you know, from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and getting after it that way.
Justice Reiser, Ashton Johnson, those guys are good lefties that you have coming back. And Rockwell Liberate, we saw him just toward the end when he got healthy. At 6'4", he's got all kinds of potential pitching.
Yeah, the sky's the limit. Like I said, came as an infielder, went on a mission, came back, was in the infield, and he had pitched in high school. We asked him to get on the mound, and you saw in flashes what it could be. So he's home right now pitching, you know, here, and he's in the weight room. He's already put on like 5 or 10 pounds. So, like, those guys know, they see what needs to take, and they're hungry as ever to get after it.
You mentioned pitching coming back, but you've also got a great core of guys that – were stellar in the field this last year. Crew McChesney's back, Ryder Robinson, Luke Anderson, Herdsman's back, Parker Goff's back at catcher, all tremendous defensive players. What can you do with that group to build as you move forward?
Man, it's a lot to build off. We pretty much lost three guys from our lineup, and having the six of those guys back that pretty much played every day is, man, as comforting as a coach. You know, hey, you have an old and experience always helps. And not only that, like, we had guys in the pipeline that are ready to come, and they kind of played sparingly as a freshman, having good summers, like Matt Hansen, Ezra McNaughton, Ridge Erickson. So there's guys that are ready to step in, you know, just like those seniors did when they were young. They weren't contributors at early, and now as the years went on, they got better and better and better. And I think that's one thing our program's always done is on the development side is we've gotten guys better each year. And so that's going to continue to happen. So now it's a couple other guys' turn to step up and get in the lineup and go get it done for us.
That pipeline up the middle, you go Goff, you got Robinson, who proved to be one of the best defensive shortstops in the Big 12 and hit some home runs for you. And then you got to center field, and you got McChesney, who reminds me of that guy for the Cubs, Pete Crow Armstrong.
Everything comes back to the Cubs for
with
him.
With his ability
like Pete
and
Armstrong,
his speed.
The way Pete's playing, yeah.
Yeah, but his speed, and he's still growing up too. But man, that's a solid group for you to build on.
Yeah, that's where championships are won, is up the middle. You know, from the catcher to the mound, your guys, you know, second baseman, shortstop, and center fielder. And so those are usually your best athletes on the field. And so we'll continue to recruit that way. And we're excited about the group we have coming back, the experience and you know, the attitude those guys have right now to want to keep getting better.
There's technology and analytics and some whole new stuff coming into your program that can help you get to where you want to go. What will that do here in the offseason?
man, it's just going to allow us to keep getting better, for not just our own eyes to tell us what we're looking at, but the kids be able to see, hey, this is what we're talking about. And so it's real. They know that they can see exactly what's going on, and it's instant feedback. I think kids need that a lot right now, is the instant feedback and knowing, hey, this is what's going on. This is how I fix it. This is how I get better.
Promise me we're opening the season in Hawaii or Mexico.
I'm trying to think where we're at.
Somewhere warm. And
we always volunteer to go call any of those games.
Always somewhere warm, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So somewhere on the West Coast, somewhere nice and warm.
We'll go to Mexico, too.
Ready to go.
We're
yeah.
good for that.
We'll go oh, yeah. Softball goes to Mexico. So, baseball yeah. needs to get that rolling.
We do need to get that rolling.
Yeah. So, no, but we're excited. That's the thing, is this program, you know, we took one step forward this year. Now it's time to take another step. And we have the group coming back that we think can, you know, can do that.
Right. Nothing can replace experience, and you have it this year.
Yes.
Exciting. We're looking forward to it too, Coach. Yeah. Thanks for being here with us.
No, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great summer. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, sounds good.
BYU Coach Trent Pratt. When we come back, speaking of great summers, we'll see what Jarom's doing.
Oh, goodness. I don't want to see
a swing. On the golf course as BYU Sports Nation rolls on here on a Tuesday in Provo.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back live on BYU Sports Nation. Let's go back out to the Cedar Hills Golf Course, where Jarom Jordan joins us live. We'll shift into our golf voices.
Yes, because we don't want to disrupt somebody putting.
Jarom, we'll take it out to you. I don't know what hole you're on, but let's go out to let's go out to Jarom on seven.
I don't know if I know what hole I'm on, but Harvey Unga is about to tee off. Let me.
We got to show you this.
Does Harvey have a swing?
Like Harvey doesn't know anything. Harvey has no idea that I'm showing him live on BYU TV right now.
So this is former all-time leading rusher in BYU history.
He was doing great right till Jamal Williams.
And now, until Jamal went right by him. And now
we're
going to
keep his head down.
I can't even see the ball.
Note, Harvey is left-handed.
There's a ball down there.
Is there a ball there?
He's driving right. Okay. He's driving right, but he's left-handed.
Let's go. Smoked it.
He smoked it. Which is amazing, because I figured, I felt like his takeaway.
You're left-handed hitting right?
Yes.
Jarom, I feel like his takeaway. Tell Harvey his takeaway is a little flat. He needs to be a little higher up with that.
Lane says your takeaway is a little flat, whatever that means.
So
I have no idea what that means, but I'm going to go ahead and Google that when I get back, and I'll figure it out.
Harvey Young, everybody.
Hey,
Harvey
you can find it. That's the beauty of us. T-shots, if you can find it. How are you playing, Jarom?
Terrible, as always. But it's a scramble. So we're having fun. We're 6 under through 9, which I feel is competitive. That's not a winning number, guys.
That's better than Spencer.
Wow, Spencer was 3 under through 6 when we talked to him. So who's with you, Jarom? It's you and Harvey's on your team. Who else do you have?
I'm with Ken Garf homies. I got Rod, Jason, Matt, and Nate.
Nice.
Some guys from the American Four. Ken Garf, some guys from corporate. One of the guys in charge of parts. They sell 3 million parts a month.
Wow.
What? We don't have 3 million pieces in BYU Sports Nation. A year. Graphics, video, and the rest. But it's great out here. Good showing. Appreciate all the corporate sponsors. Raising Cane's right here. Hanging out on this hole.
Nice.
Shout out to Raising Cane's. Love that cane sauce. They support BYU. And as you guys know, that's super important in this era of NIL, of rev share, of corporate sponsorship. It all matters. So we appreciate all these guys.
All right, play on.
Yep, we're
play on.
We're glad you guys are out there representing us. We got it covered back here.
Spend the whole day out
there. We're back here at the barn, slugging away. So we got you.
Thank you. Love you guys.
All right, there's
Jarom. See you, Jarom.
Okay, now we can get back to our regular non-golf voices.
Yeah, that's right.
Did
we really need to talk in golf voices? I don't know.
It
seemed appropriate.
Yeah.
At the time.
Because it set the reverence for what they were going to do.
Exactly.
Our question of the day, what is the biggest storyline in BYU athletics in 2024-25? In response, our elite voice of the day, presented by PACS Healthcare Elevated from @CougarStats on X.
Yeah, excellence across the board. You know what? I agree. He says 2 national championships, numerous ranked teams, likely top 10 finish in the Learfield Director's Cup. And that was the highlight. So basically, Cougar Stats on X is saying it's all a highlight. The season in its entirety is a highlight. I don't know that I can argue with that. What do you think about that?
Cougar Stats is a good follow. Yeah. They always have good stuff. And great, I think point. They hit it. It has been a year unlike any other.
Remarkable year.
Our Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Yeah, so we're going to rise and shout out and say happy National Mascot Day to Cosmo the Cougar, the
it's
best
mascot day.
Cosmo, the number one mascot in all of college athletics. So our shout out goes out to Cosmo on National Mascot Day. Happy National Mascot
Day. He put this tweet out, Cosmo. So these are his best hits.
Exactly.
There he is playing with fire.
That's crazy. The stuff
he's
got to
come up with all new stuff.
The stuff
this season
he does is remarkable, and we'll just leave it at that. He's the best mascot in college athletics.
Bar none.
Bar none.
Our thanks to our guest today, Jonathan Tavernari, and head baseball coach Trent Pratt.
Yeah, the conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Blaine, I'm Dave. Shout out to David Nixon, the third member of After Further Review, which returns next month. Time's flying. See you next time. Go Cougs.